Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
We have discussed free agency from every angle except for one, Dynasty. Today is a Dynasty show, and that's kind of Heath's thing, so we will spend at least 6 to 8 minutes on Dynasty today. No, we'll spend more than that. Welcome to the show. We've got big running back news. We've got the Bears, the Falcons, the Jets all signing running backs. T.Y. Hilton is back with the Colts. I'm excited to do the show today, guys. It's like 70 degrees outside. Spring is here. I'm in a good mood. Good morning, Dave and Jamie.
What in the world? Jamie's not even
here.
Oh,
my God.
Like, all of that, you were nailing it. The Dynasty joke was good. I had some responses. I was saying, man, I missed 70 degrees because it's like 100 here today.
I was going to say, if we do
6 to 8 minutes, we'll probably pass our off-season record for our most Dynasty content because we already did one show. But now all I can think about is how you called me Jamie.
No, actually, I called you Dave. I called Dave Jamie. So I got it both wrong. I do this all the time.
It's all good, Frank. It's all good.
Yeah, actually, I'll be on with Frank and Chris and Scott tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear it tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope they remember your name.
I don't know why they're having me on. Like, I know anything about baseball right now, but listen to Fantasy Baseball today. I am sorry. Heath and Dave are here.
I can't believe it, Adam.
We are going to talk.
I can't believe it. You are a professional host. You at least should know the names of the people that you're on the podcast with.
What show out there changes the talent as frequently as ours? You know, I can't keep up with it anymore. Well, anyway, we have a special guest.
I'm chalking this up to you being a dad and your kids driving you crazy.
I have heard
because I called you the other day and you had to abruptly end the phone call. It was an important phone call because you had peanut butter. I think you had peanut butter all over your hands because you were dealing with your children.
And last night I was on the phone with my dad and my son spilled a bag of vegetables. And this morning I've heard the same song about 10 times because it was demanded and it was going crazy. So thank you, Dave. I will take that excuse. Special guest coming on the show today. The Fantasy Cops are back for the first time in a long time. All right, let's get to the big news. We'll do the news first and then we will do the Dynasty rankings. So,
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right,
let's go. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, the Falcons signed Mike Davis, 2 years, $5.5 million. The Bears signed Damian Williams, 1 year deal. And the Jets signed Tevin Coleman. Let's start with that. We'll do James White, T.Y. Hilton later. We have Kyle Rudolph news too. But Heath,
yes.
What's the biggest news here? Mike Davis, Damian Williams, Tevin Coleman.
I don't know that by the time we get to May, any of these will be particularly big news, but this, I would say, like, my main takeaway is that for me, Ito Smith and Michael P. Ryan are no longer attractive double digit round picks as sleeper running backs. And now Mike Davis and Tevin Coleman are a little bit more attractive in that range. And if somehow the Falcons and Jets don't add a running back in the draft, then this becomes a little bit more interesting. But I really don't think Mike Davis or Tevin Coleman is going to be a starting running back in 2021.
Dave, what's the most interesting thing for you?
I think there's a couple of interesting things with each one of these running backs. First of all, Tevin Coleman, that signing makes sense. He knows what this offense is supposed to look like in New York. It's the same type of offense. At least we think it'll be the same type of offense that we saw in San Francisco. Coleman has been familiar with Kyle Shanahan. He's worked with him a bunch of times over his career. Now he's working with the Shanahan disciple. He should be able to get at least a piece of that rushing workload. I agree with Heath. That's a good late round pick. And LaMichael Pirine really never showed a whole heck of a lot over the course of last season. I fully expect the Jets to add another running back along the way, probably in the draft, probably in the fifth round, and that guy will end up being the best running back in New York. Chicago, Damian Williams. That one's tough because Williams is a very serviceable, solid running back, a very good backup running back who, when put into a pinch and used as a starter, he's been exceptional. We've seen it before. We saw it in the playoffs a few years back, and injuries have kind of slowed him down. Last year, he didn't play because he opted out due to COVID. I seriously believe that he will compete for a role in that offense. It's another mouth to feed, taking work away from David Montgomery. So anybody who thought that David Montgomery was going to get the workload that he had last year, you already knew it wasn't going to happen because Tariq Cohen was coming back. Now you've got Damian Williams in there too. I'm not 100% sure he'll make the team, but I think if he does, that's a problem. That could be five touches per game that go away from both Cohen and David Montgomery. It makes Montgomery less appealing to me in fantasy drafts. And Mike Davis proved last year he's a good, serviceable backup running back. When put into a big role, he can handle it. We saw it. Good versatility. I think the Falcons are going to value that. Arthur Smith has made the most of all of his running backs that he's had. Really, he's only had one that we care about in Derrick Henry. But my guess is that this is a sign of the type of running back that Atlanta wants to get in the draft. Physical, versatile, strong, and that means Najee Harris. And I wonder if they're going to target Najee Harris with their first round pick to solidify that backfield. Davis would be the backup guy. Harris, who's a lot like Derrick Henry, could be the lead guy there. It would be an amazing fit for fantasy and a great fit for Atlanta as well, and for Harris to get a good role right out of the gate. Let's see if that happens.
I just realized that all three of these backs were basically familiarity ads. Mike Davis was with Dave Ragone in Chicago a couple years ago. Damian Williams, right?
Yeah.
Williams.
That's
was
the
Matt
one I
Nagy
wasn't sure about, but that one
in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So all of them to me look like good depth backs that understand what the team wants to do, that will be very instructive to the younger starters.
Yeah. Tevin Coleman. Remember a couple of years ago, he had 11 carries, 105 yards, three touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown. He had a four touchdown game against Carolina. That was week 7 of 2019. He has played 16 games since then, and he has been really bad. 94 carries, 265 yards, one touchdown, 17 catches in those 16 games.
That's
averaging
3 yards per carry.
2.82 yards per carry.
Yeah.
So he has really fallen off. He has been in a lot of good backfields, and almost every year he's been worse than someone else. He's always been worse than Devontae Freeman, worse than Raheem Mostert, worse than Jeff Wilson. I don't know that Tevin Coleman's a very good running back, and they gave him up to $2.5 million. They didn't pay him. Nobody's getting starters money here. As far as David Montgomery goes, right? Let's say you had David Montgomery in a dynasty league, and all three of these running backs have been out there. I feel like Damian Williams is the one you would have wanted the least as competition, right? I mean, I would rather him be duking it out with Mike Davis or Tevin Coleman than Damian Williams. I wouldn't be thrilled about it. I mean, Dave, you were talking about it. I wouldn't be thrilled about this if I had David Montgomery.
No, because it's another body in that backfield, assuming that he sticks with the final roster. I don't know if I agree with your assessment that he's the one that I'd be most nervous about. Mike Davis was pretty good last year, but I believe Davis Montgomery shared a backfield
yes,
at one
exactly.
point.
A unique
and
situation
Davis
there.
Ended up not being there for a while. So right. I guess Montgomery ousted him. It's a good depth move by Chicago. Remember last year, there were points where when they took Montgomery off the field, they were just miserable at running back. They had Lamar Miller on their roster. They needed depth there. And I think that's what Damian Williams is going to potentially bring.
This will end the Cordarrelle Patterson experiment probably as a running back, maybe. But I really don't think any of these three running backs, like I did downgrade Montgomery a little bit because I think this signals the Bears might not give him quite as much work as I was expecting.
Of course.
But I don't think any of these three running backs are legitimately competing with David Montgomery. Like they're going to get a certain amount of the touches. Tariq Cohen's going to get a certain amount of the touches, but David Montgomery is going to get 250 touches.
Yeah. But if we rewound 1 year ago, and I just said, who's a better running back, Damian Williams or David Montgomery? Guessing we would have said Damian Williams.
I think we would have said we don't know.
Maybe, but we still may not know.
Well, at the time, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not on the Chiefs. Damien Williams
no,
was
I don't
on
mean
the
it.
Chiefs. There wasn't really a question of like whether or not Damien Williams would play if we're literally going a year ago from right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we might have said that. We might have said Damien Williams.
Well, when you say better running back, I assume you're saying most talent,
I
more talented
not,
running back.
I did not mean fantasy. We didn't think very highly of David Montgomery.
I thought you meant fantasy.
And we did like Damien Williams, you know? I mean,
we did.
He couldn't stay healthy. He's had 1 year in his career with more than 50 carries. He's probably best suited in a complimentary role.
But I would have said immediately, we're comparing Damien Williams on the Chiefs to David Montgomery behind the maybe the worst offensive line in football in 2019, or one of. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a fair comparison at all.
So Montgomery, the last six games of the year, he was the number two running back in non-PPR, number one in PPR. He had 116 carries in those six games. That's a 309 carry pace. Other Bears running backs combined for 27 carries. So he was obviously a major workhorse. And those 27 carries included one game where Cordarrelle Patterson had 10. You would remove that, and it basically was just all Montgomery all the time for the most part. So yeah, maybe a little bit more of a split, but like I said, yeah, these are not starter contracts given out here. And as Heath said, these are depth signings with familiarity. So let's go to T.Y. Hilton, and he signed a 1 year deal, $10 million with the Colts. He did not finish as a top 40 wide receiver, though. He finished strong last six games. He was top 12 in PPR. He was sixth in non-PPR. Heath, what do you think about T.Y. Hilton? Do you have him in your top 40? Last year, he was 41st overall. Do you have him in your top 40?
When I ran my projections this morning, it actually came out to number 40 at wide receiver. So like once the draft happens, he may not be a top 40 wide receiver. It wasn't just last year. If you'll remember, he was miserable in 10 games in 2019, and we blamed that on Jacoby Brissett. Then he had Phillip Rivers last year, and for most of the season was miserable again. His 16-game pace over the past two seasons, 65 catches, 808 yards, six touchdowns. That's a 16-game pace. That's absolutely terrible. I don't really have a great degree of confidence as to whether Carson Wentz is better or worse for T.Y. Hilton than Phillip Rivers. I'm not sure it really matters. Mostly, I didn't like this because I was starting to get kind of excited about the opportunity Michael Pittman could have as the number one wide receiver. Now I kind of project it as a 1A, 1B situation with neither of them in my top 36. It's possible that T.Y. Hilton could still be a good value on draft day if everybody just thinks that he's done. But for the most part, I don't plan on drafting him. I put a poll out on Twitter this morning asking what he's worth to somebody in terms of a 2021 rookie pick. And majority of the answers said no better than a fourth round rookie pick, which is basically worthless.
Okay. And Dave, give me your quick thoughts on James White back with the Patriots for 1 year, $2.5 million.
I think that it's going to continue to sting the values of the running backs in New England. We know that they love to mix and match. Damian Harris, we may never see your best games while you're wearing a Patriots uni because Cam's there. He's going to steal touchdowns. James White's there. He's going to steal catches. It's great for the Patriots and their offense, and their offense should be pretty good, but they are going to diversify like a nerdy stockbroker, and you're going to see them be very frustrating at every position, except maybe quarterback. I'm not sure about that one yet in fantasy. People are going to have a hard time trusting Cam Newton, but if you draft him as a backup and you see what happens after the first month of the season, maybe you'll be happy. But everybody else in that offense, it's going to be way good 1 week, terrible for 3 weeks. You're not going to want to trust that guy. And then I don't know where they'll have a big game. So it's going to be tough with all the Patriots players, and that'll include, obviously, running backs. It's been that way for a long time.
One thing I found interesting when I was going through the team like pass rates and where they threw the ball last year, I think we had the impression that because Cam was there, the Patriots went away from throwing to the running backs. They didn't throw at all, but when they did throw, they actually still led the NFL last year in the percentage of their targets that went to running backs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kyle Rudolph has...
But not a lot of that went to Damian Harris, unfortunately.
No. Kyle Rudolph has a foot issue, so the deal with the Giants might be in a little bit of jeopardy.
I don't think so. I think it's going to stick.
Okay.
I think it's like they signed it, I think.
So congratulations, all right. Lou, on your old injured tight end.
It's Okay. Anyway, we have Apple Podcast questions coming up later today, and we're going to have an Apple Podcast review mailbag next Thursday. So if you want to get your questions read on the show, leave us a 5-star review, and we will read it. We will read your question. So, you know, hey, this show's great. I love it. The host is awesome. All that stuff. And then
he remembers the co-host names.
Also, crazy time of year right now for sports. So much fun. NCAA tournament going on. Baseball, all the things that got UFC. CBS Sports HQ is your streaming answer, okay? We've got spring training, the NBA trade deadline, UFC 260, NFL free agency fallout, draft coverage, golf picks, the U.S. men's national team. We could go on, but you get it. Sports never sleeps, neither does CBS Sports HQ. It's available on your computer, your phone via the CBS Sports app, and your connected TV. I watch CBS Sports HQ anytime I have some free time. I pop it on the Roku. And it's just a great way to get caught up on the sports world. I learn a lot every day, so please check it out. It's really the best, most in the, what have I been here, 11, 12 years or something like that. I'm pretty much blown away by how good, well-produced, professional CBS Sports HQ is. It is tremendous stuff. You got to be watching it. Just got a text message. This shrimp in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch thing appears to be fake. Unbelievable.
You're kidding.
No, this guy is like a scammer.
A cereal that's been produced for like 25 years?
I didn't think that it was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It was like maybe someone bought it, put that stuff in there, returned it to a store.
Oh, that's sick.
And they got, but it seems like it was all a hoax. Developing story.
I mean, imagine the allergies.
We'll keep an eye on it. Was disgusting. All right, more news and notes real quick. The Eagles signed Joe Flacco. Marcus Mariota took a pay cut. Tampa Bay gave a couple of contracts out. Left tackle Donovan Smith got a 2-year extension. Ndamukong Suh, defensive tackle, 1-year deal worth up to $10 million. Washington is checking in on N'Keal Harry's availability. Seattle signed a couple
of... They need a tight end?
signed a couple of defensive ends. One of them is a re-signing of Benson Mayoa. And they also signed Kerry Hyder to a 3-year, $16.5 million deal. They got to upgrade their pass rush. And Denver re-signed Kareem Jackson, a safety. Oh, yeah. Here we go. The Fantasy Cops are back for the first time in months. This Fantasy Cops question is a dynasty question. It is from Radenclaw. I don't know. And he says, I am the co-commissioner of a 12-team keeper league. We are allowed to keep 2 players each season that cost a round higher than what they were drafted the year before, and we can't keep anyone drafted in rounds 1, 2, or 3. And we can also trade for future picks once, or a future pick once a season. So just before our trade deadline in November, I went to a manager in our league that I knew was a huge Saints fan, and I offered him, very lopsided deal, Adam may say so, Michael Thomas and a 12th round pick for his Calvin Ridley and a 1st round pick. Now, keep in mind, Michael Thomas couldn't even be kept because he was a, you know, round 1, 2, 3 pick, and Calvin Ridley was a round 4 pick, so he could be kept. So he would give up Thomas and a 12th round pick for Calvin Ridley and a 1st round pick. I figured we would go back and forth a bit and settle on the trade straight up without the 1st round pick. Instead, he countered with giving me Ridley and his 1st for Michael Thomas and my 5th round pick. Of course, I smashed accept because not only is that such a no-brainer in redraft, but Ridley is a keeper. Okay, I'm sorry. This is not a dynasty question. This is just a keeper
not at all.
Question.
Is this
but
an
that's
ethics
okay.
question?
Yeah, it is.
I'm waiting for the ethics part.
Okay, I won my league, but now many of the guys and my co-commissioner are upset about how lopsided the deal was since Michael Thomas didn't have any fantasy relevance at all and can't be kept. Well, I ran away with the championship and set myself up really well for next season coming off the championship. I said if they all felt really strongly about it, I would consider making the pick a 2nd rounder instead of a 1st rounder, the pick that he's getting back. They want me to forfeit the draft pick altogether and for me to just be satisfied with having Ridley as a keeper, but I think that's too far. What do you guys think? He doesn't want to be a jerk and have anyone quit over the league. People are really angry about this.
Well, where were they when the trade went down in the first place? because that's the time. If first of all, if you're in a big boy league, everybody is consenting. When you make a trade, everybody should trust that everybody else is doing the best for their team and that it's not a collusion-like situation. I don't think that this is it at all, since there was a counter proposal and it doesn't seem like someone's cheating to help someone else. So when, if that's the situation, when there's a lopsided deal, people need to, you know, raise the red flag then and there, saying, whoa, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like a good deal. If you complain about it after the fact, and we're talking 4 or 5 months after the fact, then you're out of luck, man. The deal is done. It has happened. It's official. It's in stone. The commissioner should get to keep his pick.
I want to clarify a couple things. First off, I'd like to know if the guy who accepted the deal knew that he couldn't keep Michael Thomas. So that would be interesting. But also, this trade took place in November. Michael Thomas did play like 6 games after that, so he wasn't irrelevant for fantasy purposes that year. Calvin Ridley was actually, I believe, currently hurt when the trade took place. He did not play the week this trade was made. You can't, like, what are we trying to do?
Fixing a trade. You're a detective now. This is really a fantasy detective.
Fixing a trade that happened 6 months ago that obviously we can see there was some mechanism of thinking on both parts. No, I wouldn't do anything.
And if people are going to be all bow on the deal and they're going to quit the league, then I don't think you should placate them and make the trade different. If anything, create a new rule that says, all right, everybody's got 24 hours to veto a trade. And if they don't like it, then there's the trade's final.
The trade stands. The fantasy detectives
stands.
Have spoken. All right. Good stuff, guys. Let's go to the dynasty ranking segment now. Okay. So Heath just published new dynasty rankings. We'll pick and choose some things, but you know, I guess the major overall theme here is how free agency impacted dynasty rankings. So I picked some free agency related things and some that weren't to talk about, Heath, but I'll give you the floor and what you want to start with. And based on free agency, I don't know, the biggest movers and shakers in your dynasty rankings.
Well, we talked about this on FFT and Five a little bit. I was very encouraged by the fact that Aaron Jones stayed in Green Bay, has some security for the next 3 years, and isn't currently sharing with a pass catching running back. Yes, AJ Dillon might steal more touchdowns than Jamal Williams did, but he's not going to get the targets that Jamal Williams did. So I was very excited about him. There were a couple of quarterbacks who were kind of, in the words or initials of Al Melchior, DTM, dead to me, for dynasty purposes, that have kind of come back a little bit. I'm more interested in rostering Daniel Jones than I was. I'm more interested in rostering Cam Newton than I was. On the flip side, I think the Kenny Golladay thing was really terrible for everyone in New York besides Daniel Jones.
Including Kenny Golladay?
I didn't really, no, I don't know that there's a huge impact there, because I don't see New York as a place that's going to give 140 targets to a number one wide receiver, but Golladay's never been that guy anyway.
Okay. All right. So then let's take a look at a few things here. I think it's time to just address Deshaun Watson, because I've gotten a couple questions. What do I do with Deshaun Watson right now? So many accusations out there and it's troubling. And then you've got the trade rumors hovering over him and whatnot. He went down from 5 to 7 in your rankings. Not a huge drop by any means, but significant to move down 2 spots. And I mean, would anybody even look to acquire? I mean, is he just hands off right now?
He's got to be. He's got to be, because of what's going on with the lawsuit. He hasn't been traded by now, and the top reporter of the Texans in Houston still expects him to be traded, but his value is getting killed. We don't know what his future is. And that's, I'm assuming that's why he's moved down to 7th for Heath, and he could move down even more. And remember, there's also a situation that could play out where they go to court with all these cases. Maybe he's innocent, as he's professing to be, yet he still stays with Houston. And now you look at the talent around him in Houston, it's not that great. I'm not sure if Deshaun Watson can be a great quarterback within another year in Houston compared to what he's been before. So there isn't a lot of upside today with Deshaun Watson. Now, these cases get dismissed before the draft. Deshaun Watson's traded. He ends up in Miami. He's reunited with Will Fuller. Of course, his value is going to bounce back. But it's hard to see that happening anytime soon.
And the drop from 5 to 7 is much bigger than it sounds. I'm getting ready to finish up the trade chart today, and I've got values associated with all the players. And Watson's currently closer to number 10 than he is to number 6. So, like, he was someone who I really considered in the same range as Kyler, Lamar, and Josh Allen, my number 2, 3, and 4 quarterbacks. And I kind of viewed them as almost interchangeable. And now he's more like interchangeable with guys like Jalen Hurts, who I do still think, like, long term, there's enormous upside for both of those guys. But we have very little reason for certainty about what we're going to get from them in 2021.
And you moved Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott ahead of Deshaun Watson. He's still one spot ahead of Russell Wilson, then Joe Burrow, then Jalen Hurts. But you can see the trade chart that Heath is referring to get a better sense of where these guys are. Yeah, I'm looking at your rankings now. I don't know if you want to talk any further. I don't think we have to go into Daniel Jones or Cam Newton much more. Cam Newton's 20th. Daniel Jones is 15th. Tua Tagovailoa, 11th. It's pretty high.
Yeah.
There's a giant drop from number 10 to number 11 in those values. And I really would say now, after what's gone on recently with Watson, I would say there's, like, Patrick Mahomes is in a tier of his own. And then you've got Kyler, Lamar, and Josh Allen. And then you've got Dak and Herbert. And there's a pretty good drop to Watson, Wilson, and Burrow for me, and Hurts for me. And then there's just, like, I don't have Aaron Rodgers is right there with Tua. For a win now team, he's obviously much, much higher than Tua. But what is his long-term future? How many more years is he playing football? How many more years is he in Green Bay with Devontae Adams? Last year at this time, it kind of looked like Aaron Rodgers' skills were deteriorating. Obviously, that's not the case, but it could look like that again this year. I struggle, like, I agree Tua seems a little bit high at number 11, and he probably won't be number 11 once Trevor Lawrence is officially in the dynasty rankings. But I struggle with, like, who in the teens or 20s I would put ahead of him.
Okay. Who in the teens and 20 you would put ahead of Tua?
Like, not Baker Mayfield or Daniel Jones. Matthew Stafford and Ryan Tannehill I would rather have this year, but they're mid-30s with kind of uncertain futures.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
It's almost like those are quarterbacks that could have, you could look at it and say, all right, 3-4 more years, they should be fine. They should still be in the league. If Tua has a bad year in 2021, what happens to him in 2022?
Very, very true. But also, I don't really see a lot of hope that Stafford or Tannehill or Baker Mayfield make a leap, and we're heading into next year viewing them as top 8 dynasty quarterbacks.
Sure.
At their age.
That's fair to say.
There's a chance that Tua does.
Right. And I guess that's why he's ahead of them, because he's got the potential. Yeah, if he stinks in 2021, he could be on the bench in 2022. But if he's good in 2021, he might be good in 2031. He could just keep it rolling.
Tua also just got the best receiver in football, statistically speaking. And JK, just call back to a joke from a few shows ago. And that's Will Fuller. And we'll probably get a wide receiver in the NFL draft as well. So, maybe 11's too low. Maybe he should be like third. Heath, think about it. Okay, dynasty running back rankings here. Let's see what stood out in the dynasty running back. Well, Aaron Jones is a big. He's up from 14th to 7th. He already talked about that a little while ago, but a big jump for Aaron Jones. Still behind DeAndre Swift, which I thought was interesting. Have we seen enough for DeAndre Swift? He's number 5 for you in your dynasty running back rankings to put him ahead of Aaron Jones. I guess we have
that. Like, I understand the argument against that. I think this position is the one where it's the easiest to overvalue youth, because for most of them, you're thinking you've basically got until age 28. Well, for Aaron Jones, that means the window's open for 3 more years, we hope. For DeAndre Swift, that means the window's open for 6 more years. That's a pretty enormous difference. I thought he was maybe the second best back, third best back coming into this year. When they gave him the ball, he looked awesome last year. I love his offensive coordinator situation. I don't worry so much about Jamal Williams. I mean, obviously, there's not going to be a 300 touch situation. It doesn't look like for Swift, but I don't know that he needs that because he's awesome.
Dave, who would you rather have in Dynasty, DeAndre Swift or Aaron Jones?
If I'm trying to win a championship this year, it's Jones. This year, next year, my window is open. I want the running back who's hitting his prime on a competitive team. That's Jones. If I'm not, anything short of that, I'd rather have Swift. And I think that Swift is going to be a good back in the league for a while. I like his pass catching props. I like the upside that his short yardage touchdown production showed us as a rookie. And the Lions aren't going to be terrible forever. I know they kind of have been terrible forever, but there's a really good opportunity for DeAndre Swift to be a staple in that offense for the next 3 to 5 seasons. So if I'm looking long-term, Swift is who I want. If I'm trying to win now, it's Jones.
Dave, without having rankings in front of you, where in your mind do you think you would have Josh Jacobs in Dynasty running back rankings?
I am glad you brought him up because I was doing research on that Raiders backfield before the show today that if I have time, I can get to. But I think he'd be behind both of these running backs. I'm nervous.
But how far behind? Because he is behind both of them. But, you know, are we talking?
At least, I mean, what numbers are Swift and Jones in your rankings, Heath?
Swift is 5, Jones is 7.
Okay, so Jacobs might not even be like 10. He might be like 12. He might be 14. He'd be down a little bit. And the reason why I say that is because the addition of Kenyon Drake continues to make me squeamish about Jacobs. We already know that he's just the Raiders in 2 seasons never committed to him as a pass-catching back. And he was terrible in short yardage situation last year. 31% conversion on goal to go. From 3 yards or closer. Drake was pretty good. He was over 50% on 1 yard to go from the end zone, but overall he was like 42%. So it just made the signing even more of a head scratcher, but maybe Drake was signed to bring back some of that passing down work that we saw from him prior to last year, maybe to be a battering ram at the goal line. Those are two areas that Josh Jacobs should be dominating as a former first round pick who had those types of skills when he was at Alabama. And now I'm nervous about him being a full-time workhorse back. And if you're not a full-time workhorse back, I don't care how young you are, you're not going to be ranked highly in anybody's rankings. So I'm kind of nervous about Jacobs. And if I can find somebody who's not in my dynasty league, I think I'm trying to trade him. I think I'm trying to get maybe a mid first round pick in the rookie draft for him.
Call Heath, because Heath is pretty high on him.
I'm. And I feel like the past couple of years, I've maybe been a little bit lower than everybody else on Josh Jacobs, but it's for the reason that I didn't really think he was the full-time feature back. Now he's been very good for the most part when he's touched the football. But I still see a soon to be 23-year-old or just turned 23, but age 23 season. And he's already shown the ability without playing even 60% of the snaps to be a top 12 fantasy running back. He's shown 2 years in a row that he's a top 15 guy, even without the 50 catch thing that we like to look for. And I don't think Kenyon Drake's going to come in and be like a 50-50 split. I don't know that Jacobs sees a lot less work than he has the past 2 seasons.
And
so what are the Raiders seeing?
Wait, hold on. Let me just say he's got him 8th in the rankings. So it goes McCaffrey, dynasty rankings, McCaffrey, Barkley, Cook, Jonathan Taylor, Swift, Kamara, Jones, Jacobs, Zeke, Miles Sanders, Derrick Henry, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler, James Robinson, blah, blah, blah. Nick Chubb, by the way, 17th. That's pretty interesting. Like, why is Nick Chubb 17th and Josh Jacobs is 8th? Similar situations. Hunt probably going to have a bigger role than Drake, but Chubb is better than Josh Jacobs, I think. I think Chubb is one of the few, you know, elite running backs in the NFL. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah, it's a big gap there. All right, Dave, I'm sorry. I cut you off though. But yeah, he's got him 8th. That really struck me because everybody is killing the Raiders. They don't understand why they did this. They give away their offensive line. They give pretty big money to a backup running back. And it sucks for Josh Jacobs, we think. Heath doesn't seem to be as bothered by it.
Well, go ahead.
That's my bad.
Well, Do you want me to answer the?
Yeah.
You want Dave to continue or me to answer the Nick Chubb thing?
I want Dave to continue, and then I want you to answer the Nick Chubb thing.
Okay.
I think you've got the optimistic side and the pessimistic side on Josh Jacobs. And not that Kenyon Drake is going to come in and be a 50-50 guy, but what if he does work in short yardage situations and take Jacobs? I mean, yeah, Jacobs is already off the field in a lot of passing down situations to begin with. Maybe that continues to happen. And what happens if Jacobs takes a step back this year, maybe because of the offensive line? And now the coaches say, well, we probably can't count on him for even 15 touches per game. And we've got Drake, and we'll see what Drake can do. Drake gives the Raiders coaching staff options, because they may not have liked Devontae Booker enough last year to go in and take work away from Jacobs consistently when Jacobs wasn't playing well. There was a game here or there where Jacobs wasn't doing great and Devontae Booker might have seen a little bit more playing time than normal. But I'm nervous about this move. I'm nervous about Jacobs in fantasy, and the offensive line doesn't help at all.
Jamie?
The offensive line doesn't help. The difference for me between Jacobs and Chubb, and it's a couple things. One, all of these rankings are based on full PPR leagues. And while Jacobs doesn't do a lot in the passing game, I do think he's going to catch more passes than Nick Chubb. Two, I think Kareem Hunt is a bigger threat than Kenyon Drake is. Now, Kareem Hunt's not a very big threat to keeping Josh Jacobs or Nick Chubb from being a borderline top 12 running back. But I do think Kareem Hunt's going to be more involved than Kenyon Drake personally. That's the way I'm projecting it. And three, Josh Jacobs is 2 years younger than Nick Chubb.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, wait, are there other running back topics I wanted to get to here before we take a break?
James Robinson.
James Robinson, yes. Down from 8th to 17th for James Robinson. After this, we're going to take a break.
Like after the draft, if it's just him and Carlos Hyde, then that may revert. But I heard I was a little bit stubborn, I think, early in the year, in ignoring people's worries about Jacksonville adding running back depth. And when they are actually talking about adding a running back to complement him and not having him on the field all the time. And then you factor in obviously his no cost to them to move on. I just got a little bit more concerned. So there's a big group of running backs that are close in value in that range, and a small change had a major impact.
All right.
And I think I'm still higher on than the consensus in terms of dynasty ranking on James Robinson at 17.
We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we will look at wide receiver dynasty rankings, tight end dynasty rankings, answer your questions via Apple Podcasts and emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Back here to talk about dynasty wide receiver rankings and tight end rankings as well. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Heath Cummings. I got it right. So in terms of free agency, Juju Smith-Schuster, I noticed, still in your top 12. Talk about that. He's ahead of CeeDee Lamb, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. Juju still in your top 12.
What this really comes down to, and I've had some Twitter fights about this already, but I don't believe that the 8 yards per catch that Juju averaged last year is 8.6 is more indicative of what he'll do in the future than what he'd done the 3 years prior. And I know that Antonio Brown had a huge impact on his first two seasons, but in 2019, he played with atrocious quarterback play and through injuries and still averaged 13.1 yards per catch and 7.9 yards per target. That collapsed last year in a really, I feel like it was a dumb passing offense where they just threw the ball 3 yards every time. They didn't want them to get hit.
It was the worst.
But I just don't think that that's what he's going to continue to be. I'm not factoring in his 2017, 2018 efficiency as much as I have in the past, but I'm still factoring in 2018 a little bit because it's within the last 3 years. And that's the way that I approach things. He's still just 24 years old. He's still younger and always will be than Deontay Johnson. He has demonstrated 1400 yard upside. You give me a 24 year old wide receiver that has that type of production in his recent past coming off of a bad year like that, and I'm still very interested in him.
Yeah. At the very least, he's going to be a serviceable starting wide receiver in the National Football League for the next 5+ years. Just because he didn't get a monster deal in free agency this year doesn't mean that he's not going to have a job. But you've got to call him what he is at this point, which is volume driven. And even if the volume eventually goes down, I think you're right, Heath, the yards per catch can go up. Last year, not necessarily indicative of that. But is he getting pigeonholed into being a slot receiver? Is he going to be a possession receiver for the rest of his life? He's not going to be known as a big play guy. He's just going to be a nice big target that can gobble up catches.
But why? I'm going to take issue with that every time you say it because
you've seen him have a couple of 97-yard plays.
He's probably the only player in NFL history with two 97. He's got to be one of the only ones with two 97-yard touchdown catches. He's obviously capable of making big plays.
Well, any receiver is capable of making
big
plays.
But he's more capable. If he can get out of the slot, and I do think that's a big deal because he was almost exclusively a slot receiver last year, and that sucks. But also he was on a team that didn't throw the ball downfield, and that also sucks. But he signed a 1-year deal. So I just think to have him in the top 12, I guess I kind of disagree with a couple of things something that both of you are saying. Like to have him in the top 12, I just don't know where his future is. He's on a 1-year deal with a team that is really shaky right now, could have a really bad offensive line and maybe a bad quarterback, and he could be third in targets for all we know. But then again, like where is he in 2022? And then Dave, I just don't think he's what you're saying that he is, which is like just dependent on volume and basically not a big play threat at all. I think he's proven that he's better than what he was last year.
He can make big plays when he does something after the catch, breaks a tackle, gets into open space, but you can say that about almost any receiver in the National Football League when they break a tackle.
Yeah, but he's done it. That's the thing, and it's not just breaking tackles. He can outrun people. I mean, I went back and I watched those touchdown catches. You know, he's burning guys.
76-yard touchdown in 2019.
And that means something to me.
He from Mason Rudolph, and he was credited with 0 broken tackles that year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that means nothing. Maybe it's just, well, you know what? Like Devontae Adams is credited with like 2 or 3 broken tackles this year.
That's true.
It's a stat that means almost nothing for wide receivers. So I don't know. I do not think that Juju Smith-Schuster.
Except when a receiver does it a lot, then it matters for wide receivers.
I don't think that Juju Smith-Schuster is what he was last year. But if they continue to play him exclusively in the slot, it's going to take away his big play capability.
How many more years do you think Juju Smith-Schuster, forget about the teams he's on, how many more years do you think he can get north of 50 catches?
As many as he plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right. What about 70 catches?
7?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing is that we all agree that there's going to be high volume for him. Where there's volume, there's fantasy production. I don't necessarily agree that he's a top 12 dynasty receiver, but he shouldn't be shoved in the 20s by any stretch. And he should not be a sell. He's a sneaky buy in Dynasty is what he is.
Yeah, because I would guess the consensus on Juju is closer to 20 than 12.
No, he should be somewhere in between.
Okay. 15.
16.
16? Sure, 16 works. I'm on our rankings page, or your rankings page with the Dynasty stories, and there's a FFT video playing in the corner, and like Chris's cat is just everywhere. Like all I've been seeing. Okay, elsewhere in the wide receiver rankings. Deke, this is not free agency related, but tell me why you moved DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson ahead of Calvin Ridley.
I saw that on the list and I was uncomfortable with discussing it.
Good.
Because, well, it's
Step
that's
out
not
your
really
comfort
good.
Zone.
That's bad, probably. I don't have, I did not have any intentional, like they are all within a fraction of a percent of value of each other.
Okay.
So I don't have any good answer for you. Sorry, that was awful.
That's okay. Curtis Samuel up from 49 to 35. Big jump for Curtis Samuel.
I was really, first off, like wide receivers so deep, there's like 130 receivers listed. So a jump that big at any other position would be much more significant than a jump that big at wide receiver. But I was concerned about how Curtis Samuel would be viewed. I know that the industry's always loved him and he's always been a popular breakout candidate, probably could be again. But he's basically had six good games in 4 years in the NFL, and he still hasn't had a season that you would look at the whole season and say, as a receiver, he had a good year. The fact that he went to Washington, where he can be a complimentary piece to Terry McLaurin, and which I think is his best role. He's not going to be a number one. And he has Ryan Fitzpatrick, at least in year one, throwing the ball to him. I'm encouraged. I think this, another familiarity signing, but it's a coaching staff that knew him and wanted him and knows how to use him. So I'm more encouraged about Samuel.
Dave, if you look at the rankings here, Samuel 35, then let me tell you the five guys right after him. Mecole Hardman, 36, Laviska Shenault at 37, Michael Pittman, 38, Jalen Reagor, Michael Gallup. So Hardman, Shenault, Pittman, Reagor, Gallup, right after Curtis Samuel. What do you think?
Pittman should be ahead of Samuel. I think Reagor should be ahead of Samuel too, because I just think there's more upside for those two guys to become wide receiver ones for their team versus Curtis Samuel becoming the wide receiver one for Washington or whoever he plays for after Washington. And maybe, I don't know if I can really say the same thing for Laviska at this point. They added Marvin Jones. Chark for now is still on the roster. They could always add another receiver in the draft. I don't know if I feel really good about Viska becoming a number one receiver for Jacksonville. That would be a close one. Maybe I would lean toward age there and put Laviska ahead of Curtis Samuel too, but that one's close.
Okay, great. And Dave, there are actually, Heath lied a little bit. He said there were 130 people ranked at wide receiver. There are 128. Which future Hall of Famer checks in at 128 in Heath's dynasty wide receiver rankings?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Correct. Okay, let's look at tight end, Heath. What's the one thing you want to highlight here with your tight end rankings?
I mean, it's probably the fall of Hunter Henry and Evan Engram both. I don't know how Evan Engram could have possibly had a worse offseason. I guess he could get cut and nobody could sign him and he could just not be able to play football anymore. But they brought in Kyle Rudolph. They brought in Kenny Golladay. They still have Daniel Jones. And
Saquon's coming back.
And Ingram's not even, like, we talked about this on FFT and 5 as well. Ingram's not even someone who's young enough that we could say, but look at that upside and his athletic ability and the potential of what he could be. He's going to be 27 years old at the start of this year.
He's still athletic.
In his prime,
he's still athletic.
And he hasn't shown his prime yet.
He's shown it in spurts.
Sure. So
he's shown his athleticism.
The guy right behind him, Tyler Higbee, has shown it in spurts as well.
Yeah. Well, no. Tyler Higbee showed it in spurt.
Unlike anything Evan Engram's ever seen.
He showed it in spurt. I mean, the drops just kill Engram's stats, you know?
Yeah, and that's unfortunately a part of being a good tight end in fantasy football is catching the ball.
It's not just that. He also, how many downfield routes did he run last year? Certainly for the first half of the year, he wasn't running a lot of them.
What's his injury history?
Oh, yeah, that's another huge thing.
And how does Jason Garrett use tight ends? He uses them 4 yards away from the line of scrimmage because he had Jason Witten for 2 decades.
Now he's got 2 of them.
All right, well, you have Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry back-to-back. Henry 15, Smith 16. So that's... I'm sorry. Smith was 16, now he's 14. Henry is 15. So Smith moves up 2 spots. Henry drops from 9 to 15.
And that's one, I believe Jonnu Smith actually was a bigger priority to the Patriots than Hunter Henry was. Hunter Henry talked about how he was disappointed when they signed Smith because he thought that meant they were out on him. And then they went and signed him as well. Henry definitely has the better production. I project them almost identically, But I think it's a coin flip right now, which one's going to be better. And I'm leaning towards the guy that the Patriots made a bigger priority.
Back to back. So understandable there. Travis Kelce up from 4 to 3. I think last time we spoke, he was fourth.
This is another one of those situations where I think it probably had to do, like, he and Waller are so terribly close. I think it had to do with a small change to Waller's 2021 projection. I think the more interesting thing that seems no one else in the world agrees with is that I have Mark Andrews at number 2 at tight end, and he's the consensus number 4. And I ran a Twitter poll yesterday asking who should be number 1 with Kittle, Andrews, and Travis Kelce, and Andrews got 3% of the vote. The other two had like 45. But I do want to get the Mark Andrews stat out there. He is the fourth tight end since 2000 to have 2,000 receiving yards and 20 receiving touchdowns in his first 3 years in the NFL.
And he's 25.
And he's 25. You know the first three tight ends to accomplish that feat are?
Gronk.
That is correct.
Tony Gonzalez.
No, since 2000.
Oh, right. Since 2000. What was the stat? Jimmy Graham?
2,000 yards, 20 touchdowns in their first 3 years. Gronk, Jimmy Graham are correct.
Greg Olson. No.
Much better. Much better than that. You weren't far off on Tony Gonzalez. He's just a couple years younger.
I don't know.
Gates was before. Gates was after 2000. Gates is the answer.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, and Rob Gronkowski, and now Mark Andrews. I think Andrews, he's closer to Kittle at number 1 for me than he is to Kelce at number 3.
And for what it's worth, the fact that the Ravens haven't made a big splash at receiver in free agency.
They are going to draft someone.
I think they will too. But yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily like the thing that bothers me the most about Ingram is that he's not an every down player. I'd like to see him become an every down player.
Andrews.
Yeah. That's what I meant to say. Andrews. Yeah. We know Kelce.
Yeah. His production went way up after Nick Boyle got hurt last year, which really shouldn't be something that we have to say, right? Nick Boyle shouldn't be the reason why Mark Andrews struggles, but that was interesting.
Yeah.
He was pretty disappointing. I mean, last year.
I think people who drafted Mark Andrews as high as they did last year were disappointed with the results. Not as bad as the people who drafted Zach Ertz, but the people who drafted Andrews were probably unhappy. But doesn't mean that he's going to be that way every year of his career. Heath, what you said about what he's done in his first few seasons, that's huge. And I don't think he's going away anytime soon.
Okay, let me see if I have... Yeah, so I was trying to say he was disappointing before the injury, but he was still on pace for 10 touchdowns. Okay, so it was 8 games with Nick Boyle, and his pace was 52 catches. This was his pace, not what he actually did. 52 catches, 594 yards, 10 touchdowns, and on pace for only 88 targets. Without Nick Boyle, he played 6 games. Or this includes the game in which Boyle left with an injury. He was on pace for 117 targets, 85 catches, almost 1,100 yards, only 5 touchdowns. So the touchdowns were better. You know, that's fluky, whatever. But you're talking about on pace for 52 catches with Boyle, 85 without him. 594 catches with Boyle, or yards with Boyle, 1,077 yards without him. 88 targets with Boyle, 117 without him. And I think that was with Lamar Jackson actually. It was with Lamar Jackson throwing 3 fewer passes per game. Without Nick Boyle. So,
but he was better with Nick Boyle when Hayden Hurst was there. So if he has Hayden Hurst and Nick Boyle, he's awesome. If he doesn't have either one, he's okay.
Well, I think it shows that his 2019 season was statistically fluky, which we knew going in because Lamar Jackson's season was statistically fluky with the touchdown rate. You know? So the that's touchdown, just a concern.
Yes, he's not going to have a 10% touchdown rate, but he might have an 8% touchdown rate. Elite tight ends do that. And like the fluky 2019, he was on pace for 105 targets, 68 catches, 909 yards. It's not like it was all touchdowns.
Okay. All right. Then it's time to read some questions from our listeners. Apple Podcast questions, emails. First, I got to tell you about the Stitcher app, the all-new Stitcher podcast app. It's been rebuilt from the ground up to make it easier to listen to podcasts on the go or on the revamped web player. Stitcher is home to all your favorite podcasts, from classics like My Favorite Murder, This American Life, and How Did This Get Made? And all the CBS shows. You got Eye on College Basketball, Fantasy Baseball Today, and, you know, Fantasy Football Today and Fantasy Football Today and Five. We're on Stitcher. We've been on Stitcher for a while. Stitcher is actually an old partner of ours, and I love the Stitcher app, but it's better than ever now. And in Stitcher, you have more control, like setting your download preferences per show and the ability to listen at virtually any speed. With Stitcher, you can listen to your podcasts anytime, anywhere. So give the all-new Stitcher a try. Download it in the App Store or at stitcherapp.com/download. From Apple Podcasts, this is Nick in a small town in Michigan.
Ypsilanti. Isn't that how you say it?
I don't know, but you're really like off your game if it took you that long.
Yeah, I know, I know.
12-team PPR dynasty trade advice. Give Mark Andrews. Get Marvin Jones and pick 105. Mark Andrews for Marvin Jones and the fifth pick in the draft. He also has Irv Smith, Blake Jarwin, and Harrison Bryant. And he has the seventh pick, so he would have fifth and seventh here.
I'm in because of the tight end depth that you've got. You can help out. You can help yourself out at another position with that 105 pick.
Yeah, it's the 105 and Mark Andrews are very, very close. This, when I did finish the trade chart this week, I'm going to break it out. I've currently got Andrews in between an early 21st and a mid 2021 first. But I think the fifth pick is going to be about a push. Marvin Jones doesn't have a lot of dynasty value, but he's a fine tiebreaker.
And you could, with 105 or 107, maybe 107, you could get Kyle Pitts in there. So
sure,
place that tight end. From A Winters 9, how would you rank the following heading into 2021 in a full PPR dynasty league? Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson, DeAndre Swift.
I've got it Swift and then Akers and then Gibson, with Akers closer to Gibson than he is to Swift.
I'll say, I love Cam Akers long-term. I like Swift too. PPR, I've been leaning towards Swift this whole time. I'm going to stick with that. So Swift, then very closely behind Akers, and then Gibson pretty closely behind them too.
From Lamb GT91, keep two in PPR. Travis Kelce in the second, Jonathan Taylor in the third, Miles Sanders in the eighth, J.K. Dobbins in the ninth. So it's keep two, PPR. Kelce in the second, Taylor in the third, Sanders in the eighth, Dobbins in the ninth.
If you can keep them long-term, I'm keeping Taylor in the third and Dobbins in the ninth. If it's only for 1 year, I'm going to go with Kelce and Taylor.
I will go with Taylor and Sanders.
All right.
So you're keeping Jonathan Taylor for sure.
Let's read some emails here. This is from Dan. Dan is from where, Dave?
Saugatuck, Michigan.
Good job. Hi, Gus, Josh, Scott, and George. Ugh, no idea. Gus, Josh, Scott, and George. Okay, full PPR, keep two. Drafting from the eighth spot this year. It is a three flex league. Interesting. One running back, two wide receivers, three flex, and a tight end. So keep two. Second round, Travis Kelce and Lamar Jackson, both in their final keeper years. Fourth round, A.J. Brown. It's PPR. Fifth round, Terry McLaurin. 12th round, Antonio Gibson.
And we're keeping two of these guys, right?
Yeah. Kelce and Jackson in their final years, they're in the second round. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown in the fourth, McLaurin in the fifth, Gibson in the 12th. They can be kept for 2 years. A.J. Brown feels like...
And Gibson.
First one for me.
Gibson
around 12, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. For 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Brown and Gibson?
I think I'm going to go Brown and Gibson.
Jamie?
I thought maybe it was Gus Frerotte and Josh Freeman, and I was trying to see if I could link them together with Scott Mitchell, but unable to make that connection. So Now I'm going to actually look at the question. And full PPR, two keeper. I'm keeping Antonio Gibson, and I am keeping Travis. No, AJ Brown.
There you go. Okay, this is from Ty Witt in a town 10 miles south of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Let's go with South Van Horn.
Okay, it's actually North Pole, Alaska. Dear Urban, Fred, Oscar, and Stephanie. Urban, Fred, Oscar, are these Myers? I don't know.
Those are Myers.
Oscar Meyer.
I don't
Urban
know
Meyer, Fred Myers, Stephanie Myers.
Okay, I don't know all of them. 14
Gus,
team.
Josh. Scott.
Yeah, it's
sorry.
14 team dynasty league, PPR, one quarterback. I have the first two picks in the rookie draft.
Cool.
I want to draft Chase and Harris, but my only quarterbacks are Wentz and Mayfield. It's 14 teams, one quarterback. Do I consider drafting Trevor Lawrence? Do I trade down somehow and look to get a QB that way? Do I stick with Wentz and Mayfield and draft a stud running back and receiver? What do you think?
I'm looking over his roster. He's got DJ Moore, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin, Lockett, Mims, Chenault, Gallup.
He's good
pretty
there.
Good at wide receiver. Yeah. I don't know if he necessarily has to go and get one of Chase, Waddle, or Smith. And his running backs are Jacobs, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Zach Moss, Darrell Henderson. He needs a running back. He could probably use a tight end too, Gesicki and Irv Smith. Maybe not. Maybe he can wait a year on tight end. I'm good with spending the first pick on Harris. Harris is going to be my favorite running back in the draft class. And then if you can trade down from 2 to about 5 through 7, you can get Trevor Lawrence there. I think that sets up your team for the best.
Yeah. And if you miss Trevor Lawrence, then just take Kyle Pitts. I think one of those two will be there.
If Trevor Lawrence isn't there at 5, then that means you can get one of those. You probably can't get ETN.
Right.
But you could get a stud wide receiver if you'd like, or Pitts. Okay. And this is from Roy W. I'm not sure who I should keep this upcoming season. 12-team league with a linear draft. I pick 10th. It's kind of a tight end premium league. Tight ends get 1 point per reception after 5 catches. The rest is non-PPR. We have to keep 3, but can keep a 4th in place of our first round pick. So since I picked 10th, I'm keeping 4 players from the list below.
Mm-hmm.
So he's keeping Mahomes. Pick 3 more. Kareem Hunt, Jeff Wilson, Davante Adams, Travis Kelce, Cam Akers, Chase Edmonds, James Robinson. Yeah, okay, I'm just going to limit it. Adams, Kelce, Akers, James Robinson. I think you got to pick 3 of them.
Not T.Y. Hilton. That's on the list.
Gabriel sure? Davis. I forgot. Give him.
This ain't easy because he's got to pick from Adams, Kelce, Akers, and Robinson.
3 of them. And Kelce has to be one of them.
Kelce has to be one of them because of the tight end premium. And I know it doesn't seem like it's that much of a tight end premium because it's a point per reception after 5 catches. But if you've got a tight end that can routinely get 5+ catches a game, that gives you an edge at that position. Kelce is that guy.
It's Adams for sure, too.
Why?
It's non-PPR. Keep that in mind.
Why is it Adams instead of Akers and Robinson? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just having the conversation.
Yeah, I think like there's enough uncertainty with Akers and Robinson that Adams is going to be a probably 1,300-yard double-digit touchdown guy.
Okay, so guys, give me 3 names. Let's go.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to say that Adams goes with Kelce, and I'll put Akers there too.
I'll put Akers unless
until we know for sure what's going on in Jacksonville.
Yeah, if you can decide after the draft and Jacksonville doesn't draft a running back, then I'd go Robinson over Akers, but I agree.
I might go Akers and Robinson over Adams if that happens.
Okay, this is from Dylan in Chicago.
I mean, because it sounds like you can keep those guys forever.
Dylan in Chicago. Last year was the first time I got into fantasy. I played in a PPR league. I went to the championship, and also I was given a dynasty standard scoring team from a friend that's been going on for a few years. So the last Dynasty rookie draft, I unknowingly nailed it with Dobbins, Justin Jefferson, and A.J. Dillon. But I didn't understand Dynasty, and not thinking about how anything worked, I dropped Jefferson and A.J. Dillon. So I don't make that mistake again. Can you please help me decide who to drop from the team to prepare for the next rookie draft? Is there anyone who you would keep from this list that I am considering dropping? Keke Coutee, Marquise Brown, Mike Davis, J.D. McKissic, Tim Patrick, Devontae Parker, Logan Thomas, and Russell Gage.
Oh, man. I am the Jack Nicholson gif going, no, 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 with Marquise Brown. Please hang on to Marquise Brown.
Agreed.
I think you can make the case for dropping literally everybody else. I don't know if I'm going to be in such a huge hurry to drop Devontae Parker from a dynasty league. Maybe Logan Thomas, depending on what your tight end situation is, and J.D. McKissic, just in case he ends up being serviceable again. Well, but if you're tight on roster spots,
drop the Pittsburgh DST. You don't need two DSTs. So keep.
Correct.
And that DST is headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Keep Marquise Brown. Man, like, it's so weird to drop Devontae Parker and Logan Thomas in a dynasty league, but that's probably. Drop Justin Tucker. I would drop your kicker personally, but I'm
assuming
know.
You don't have to keep a legal roster during this period.
True. All right. So if you're going to choose between one, Parker or Logan Thomas, who are you keeping?
Parker.
Last question. A very long show today. This is from...
Anything to get out of working with your kids, right, Adam?
Oh, no. I miss my kids.
No.
Except I'm going to have to listen to Weezer over and over and over again for the next hour.
That's the song?
My name is Jonas.
Okay.
Couldn't wait to hear it all day.
Most parents of kids under the age of five are listening to far more irritating songs than that song.
He doesn't listen to those songs. He listens to rock songs.
Of course he doesn't. He's your kid.
And I remember last year I was trying to sing him like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or something, and he interrupts me. He goes, "Want Poker Face?" And I had to sing him Poker Face. All right, dear, I don't know who this is from. So, dear Blade, Laser, Blazer, and Michelle, I'd say top 10 sports movie for sure, Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
I finished third in my startup dynasty league last year. Do I trade one of my running backs? 10-team, half PPR. It's super flex. I've got Miles Sanders, Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, James Robinson, Kareem Hunt, Rashad wow. Penny, Naeem Hines, and A.J. Dillon.
Hey.
Yeah. So
yes,
he could
you can trade one of them. Well, what about the rest of his team? Is he thin at any other position? I'm looking at
yes.
quarterback. Unless Taysom Hill.
He's got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. It's hard to be thin at that position.
Super flex league.
Okay.
So he's got Taysom Hill, Sam Darnold, and Gardner Minshew. So he may not have a starting quarterback at super flex.
But he's got a rookie draft coming up.
He does. His receivers are Ridley, Galladay, and then crap. Pittman, Rager. Yeah.
I would try to trade Hunt and A.J. Dillon for a quarterback and wide receiver.
Or one good quarterback / wide receiver, and then use your rookie pick, assuming you have one, to fill the other position that you don't get in the trade.
He says he could trade Miles Sanders for Keenan Allen. Would you do that?
No.
I don't think I'm doing that.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the emails, everybody. Thanks for hanging around.
Can I get a pick with Keenan Allen? Can I get a first-round pick with Keenan Allen for Miles Sanders? I'm doing that. If it's a second-round pick, if it's an early second-round pick, I might do that.
Thanks for hanging around for a long show. And thanks to Dave and Heath. And Jamie, why not, for being here today. We will talk to you on Monday with another edition of Fantasy Football Today. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. If you want to hear some running back scouting reports, that's on Fantasy Football Today in 5. See ya.
Ypsilanti. Ypsilanti.
There you go.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.